This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Maybe he's not the fastest, maybe he's not the best, but he's making those guys have to catch him. And by catching him, puts them in a chance. And most likely, and it's been 17 times, 18 times this year, they haven't been able to do it. Hunter was not going to be bothered. Hunter was the one person on that racetrack that what Hayden did wasn't going to mess with him. Honda made Chase that fast. I think it was a combination of both. Chase had to look in the mirror, see that he was ugly, and then look in the mirror and see that, like, yeah, all right, I'll put a little makeup on, I'll tip them things out, whatever, and then you're straight. Then I look in the mirror, I look pretty. So, what's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7, and you know where we at. We at the Rewind Show, baby. Round 26 from Unadilla. We've been off. It's been 2 weeks. They've been off 2 weeks. We've been off 2 weeks. I missed you guys, but we back today. And you know where we just came from. There's only three races left. Well, two after this one. But before we do all that, we got to figure out what happened.
What the f*** happened? What happened? What happened?
Was Jeff able to go undefeated? He had an opportunity to make history and win that championship. Was Danger Boy going to stay in the danger zone? Last time I checked, that boy was dangerous. Wasn't feeling dangerous. Or was Hunter going to bounce back? Well, you know what we're going to do, people. We are back 2 weeks. Let's get into it. Unadilla, round 26. So coming into Unadilla, we always know the roost is bad. You got a lot of guys around the hand guards. Like, this track is one of the natural tracks. They call it like the European style track. And the reason they do that is because it's not a lot of jumps. But this year there was an expectancy of rain. We all thought possibly it was going to rain. So they didn't disc the track or rip it as deep. So it was a little bit in between. Like, it had a lot of ruts, but it was dry. I thought the track conditions were pretty good, safe enough, but it was a little bit more high speed. They changed some of the sections, went back to the old school layout, a little bit more higher speed. But overall, Unadilla was Unadilla. I've never seen a track that's had the same layout all these years, but every year you come to it, it's like a different track. It's either really rutted, really smooth, or you have a hybrid. But it didn't rain, so it ended up just being a little bit more high speed. But overall, the riders, they rode, they raced, and it was some good racing. Some of the best racing in the 450 class, at least for that first moto. We finally saw Dylan Fernandez come back, Chase Sexton, those 2 weeks off. He was able to change up some of his stuff. He worked on some technique. His bike looked a little bit better. Those two kind of went correlation. And Jet Lawrence was around on the cusp of wrapping up a championship. So everything was brewing to where if anything was going to happen, it was going to happen this weekend. And they did their best. But we're going to find out some things, although they changed, they still remain the same. So the 450s were first. So overall, we had Justin Barcia back. And he looked pretty good in practice. I actually talked to Eric Sorby a little bit. He said he was feeling pretty good. Coming into it, when you don't race, you think about, all right, can you go conditioning for 2 30-minute motos? I feel like Justin's like one of those guys that if anybody can just come in the middle of the season and be like, okay, well, his riding style, like, he's comfortable being uncomfortable. I just felt like he would just slot in, and he did. But he went down in the first corner, ain't no clutch. And we all know about Justin. He be riding on the clutch. So it was going to be a hard time for old Justin Bam Bam to be out there. He probably couldn't bam nobody because he wouldn't be able to pull in the clutch. He'd just be T-boning him. So nonetheless, with first motos being first, I felt like it was going to be a benefit for him, benefit for a lot of these guys, because it also seems like when the track gets rougher, then it separates the guys. And as we see in practice, usually the guys are a lot more bunched up. The pace is up. It's not so much hard. So it was going to be a tough challenge for Jet because there wasn't going to be a big separation because of the track and with them going first. So that first moto, Jet ripped off the start. A couple guys moved, but Jet ripped off the start. And I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they were like, well, we haven't seen him come up through the pack. And we feel like Chase and Dylan, those guys have been able to come up, and some other guys have been able to do these things. And I don't think Jet can do it. Well, there's a flip side to that. That could be true. We haven't seen Jet come up through the pack. And I said, we were talking on the broadcast about if Chase passed him, would Jet sit back and learn? And I'm like, well, we don't know how he's going to do. Like, Chase might pass him and he run off from him. Who knows? But my point is, that just shows like how locked in this kid is. The reason we don't know if he can do that is because he don't put himself in that spot. He holds shots. Like, he knew track's going to be fast. He knows that the roost is going to hurt. It is the first moto, so the guy's probably going to last a little longer. It was only like 70, mid-70s to 80, so conditioning wasn't going to be too hard. So the likelihood of championship pressure, guys having 2 weeks off, it's kind of a reset. They haven't thought about that ass whooping that they've been getting. It hasn't been so recent. It's been a few weeks now. So those guys are going to come out and show up. But Jet, whole shots. And he just keeps answering the bell. And the reason we don't know some of these questions is because he knows that he doesn't want to be in that. And you might not ever find out. So I just think that's more, instead of saying, well, we don't know if he can do it, and like, he might hit the ground. You just think of, damn, that dude's locked in and he don't want to be in that spot because he don't even know if he can do it because he ain't going to put himself in there to do it. And every time he does that, I just feel like it makes Chase, it makes Dylan, they both real good this weekend, but it makes everybody else have to catch him. And to catch somebody, you got to go faster than them. And if Jet's the fastest person in the world at this point, and he's the fastest guy in the 450 class, that means Chase is going to have to go faster than him. And to go faster than him, it's going to be a chance. And I feel like Jet's been doing, maybe he's not the fastest, maybe he's not the best, but he's making those guys have to catch him. And by catching him, puts them in a chance. And most likely, and it's been 17 times, 18 times this year, they haven't been able to do it. And so Jet Lawrence is killing it. You just, I can't even really say too much about it. You listen to broadcast, you listen to me talk, the kid's phenomenal. The kid's just doing it, and I'm impressed. And I just like that he puts everybody else in a spot, in a situation to make them have to ride faster than him.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
So the first moto, we were watching Jet and Chase, and they were together. And we'll just speak on Chase a little bit. His bike looked better. His bike looked softer. And we know the rebound's been a little bit slower. But just like Millville, where I was saying it was almost hurting him in the spot, I think here it kind of helped him. And they did change some stuff. So when you watch Chase, his riding style in the beginning part of the race, most of the moto, it looked different, didn't it? He looked a lot more in tune with his motorcycle. And when I watched Chase this weekend, it was like you saw his legs and his upper body, like they were together. His bike, his legs were connected to the motorcycle. When he was in some of those corners, like coming up before the finish line, right after the mechanics area, coming up the finish line, when you could tell when a rider is like locked in and they're gripping the motorcycle, it's like Chase is standing up. And when the bike would go away, you would see his knees extend with it. Like his legs, his feet stay on the foot pegs. His bike, his knees are gripped on the bike, and they work with it. When he's not gripping, you'll see the bike drop away and he doesn't move. The bike just goes. Well, this weekend you can see him pumping almost like a BMXer on a pump track, and he was crushing it. There was a few times during the race that, dude, he like smoked these corners. Like they were pretty good. And then there was other times where when he goes down, we'll point that one out too, where you could just see him The bite goes away. He's still holding on to the bite. His upper body never moves until he's sideways. So he worked on some technique stuff. I actually think he said that. He worked on himself and the bike. So when we watched him on that first moto, Chase was actually faster than Jet. If you look at the lap times, Jet, I believe, was actually the faster overall. But if you split up the segments, and I said that Chase is actually running into some of the segments faster, and his speed going into some of the things are quicker. His ideal time, if you put all the segments together, Chase would probably be faster. And I think we have it right here. There's a segment time on the AMA website, and you can break down everyone's best segment. And Jet, usually his segments on the racetrack, like he, when you put an ideal time, like his best segment from each part of the of a moto, his best segment, add those up, they're pretty close to what he is running during the race. Like, so if he runs a 213, a 214 per se, his ideal time, best segment, it'd probably be like a 213, low 213, because he's able to just be more consistent. Or Chase, let's say he runs a 214, you put his best segment, he'll be down like a 212 because he is going faster in a lot of parts of the track. So it's just a difference between those two of being more consistent. But this weekend, you can visually watch Chase was killing some of the sections. So I was like, all right, dude, that's pretty good. What happens is it's hard to like continue that. And this is what ended up happening to Chase. Like, he's so locked in. And when he's locked in, dude, he was like running on Jet. He could catch Jet at any point. Jet looked uncomfortable. But when Chase got there, I explained it on the broadcast, that sometimes it's, and we all know as riders, when you get close to another guy and you're like, dude, I'm about to pass him. And let's say when you're following somebody, when they break, what do? You just give a little bit more gas and you can close in. Or when they're coming out of the corner, if you get all excited, they get on the gas, you get on the gas, and you lose the rear air. And so what happened to Chase, once he got super close to Jet, he started forgetting like what he was doing, what was one of the reasons why he was able to catch Jet. And he started locking in and just getting excited to pass him, and he would make mistakes. And when he goes down with the lap rider, one, he knew it was only like three laps left, and he knew his best option was Jet getting caught up in those lap riders. He could get around them because Jet might get caught behind him, but he had to get in front of that lapper before he got in that next tight section because he was going to lose a lot of time. So he goes in that section really fast, because his thought was, I need to get in front of this lapper. So he probably went in that section faster than he did all day long. And he wasn't thinking about all the repercussions. And dude, he lost the front end. He was down before he knew it. And a part of that was what Jet was doing. Jet was in front of him. He had to make that position. And again, your thoughts are what's going on in front of you rather than what was going on, what you're doing. So overall, Chase rode good. Chase rode really good. I think he hit pretty hard. That second moto, he kind of slowed down a little bit, and I think maybe a little bit of scared him, but he rode good. And I think it was the first time all year that we saw Chase figure out that if he almost looked like he was more one in tune with the motorcycle, like they both worked together, kind of like a few times last year when he got with Eli, whatever the change has been. This year, that was down. Unadilla was the first time, even over Washougal, that I was like, dude, dude's locked in. Even over Millville, like he was going fast at Millville, but it was like, all right. This weekend, we looked at Chase, and our past history was saying he's probably going to fall. But the way I was looking at him, he looked calm doing that. And the only time he didn't is when he got close to him and he kind of rushed it. So shout out to him. The reason why Jet Lawrence is still continuing to win these races, because he might not be the fastest, he might not go in sections faster, but what Jet is, and I say he's doing this better than anybody is in this field, he's out racing Chase. He's out racing him. You know, like, hey, Chase could get faster. Chase can catch me from 9 seconds back. But when it starts coming down, when Chase is on me, and then it comes to like, I got to think my way and beat people by like thinking, I race Ricky that way. Sometimes I just outran Ricky with speed, and other times I had to outwork him and outthink him in spots. And that's when I would just follow him. You know, I'm like, dude, he's going just as fast as I am. So I got to try to figure out how to just outthink him. Well, this weekend, I feel like that first moto, Jet was outthinking Chase. And a few times this year, he was outthinking him. because he knows Chase is good at this track. He knew at Washougal, Chase had a lot of confidence coming from Millville. What you going to do? Well, I'm going to start in front of that guy because I feel like if he gets in front of me, his confidence and the way he's riding, he might take off from me and he might make me have to ride to a level that puts me in danger. But if I get in front of him, then I know no matter how fast he goes, he's going to catch me. And then it's going to be a whole different thing because now he's got to outthink me and how to pass me. And I feel like when you watch Chase, he was good when he was like a second, 2 seconds back. He could close on Jet all day long, but he couldn't pass him. He couldn't pass him because now you have to start thinking about setups and ways to pass him and doing all that. And you stop thinking about what you're doing. And I feel like Jet has been the masterclass at doing that and knowing what needs to be done right off the gate and what he needs to do to start in front of Chase. Because once he does that, then Chase has to run that pace to catch him. And we've seen a couple times this year, Chase goes faster than Jet. He goes faster. He can run Jet down. But what he can't do is pass him. And that's a whole different thing. You heard people say, catching somebody's one thing, passing was a different one. And that is true. And so Jet just knows, no matter how fast Jet Chase goes, he's still got to pass me. So him having to catch me is going to put him in that zone because he's got to ride that fast. And who knows? If I'm struggling, he's probably struggling. If it's hard for me, it's probably hard for him. And the likelihood of somebody staying up probably isn't likely. You know, that's why somebody goes down. So Jet starts in front of him. That's why Jet starts a killer. But the reason he knows all that is because the kid studies. I had a chance, if you guys saw the piece that we did, I was the last person to go undefeated.
James Stewart continues this perfect season.
I want to sit here and talk about it, but we're going to sit here and talk about it.
James Stewart dominant.
If it's not a perfect season, will it be a letdown?
Perfect season is going to be great, but if I'm at a risk of crashing on something, I mean, the perfect season would be lovely, but if I get a perfect season, I'm going to get a championship, and if not at this point, I'm still looking at to get in the championship.
I had a chance to talk to those guys, and I'm going to tell you straight up, I was impressed. That kid's a killer. I know we all say Jet Donuts, and he's got, you know, telling Aaron Plessinger, come on, hang out, but I'm telling you, that dude's a dog, and that's what we see. He knows exactly, give you a little secret, he knows what's going on. Facts. He knows what he needs to do to beat these guys. And I'm sure they do too, but it ain't just I get out there and figure it out. And that's why I believe Jet has gotten better and Jet's been so dominant this year. And while we always feel like, man, is he lucky? Nah, he ain't lucky. The harder you work, the luckier you get. That is the truth. And Jet works just as hard off the motorcycle and studying that he does on a motorcycle. And that's why he's undefeated. That's why he's your 2023 AMA Supercross. He is a Supercross champion. He's your motocross champion as well. And no matter how fast everybody goes, you send all these dogs, he's in front of them and they got to pass him and they haven't been able to do it. But that's because he knows he needs to be in front of them and the kid's just killing it. So congratulations on that. But overall, Jet was uncomfortable that first moto, but he was able to adapt to the motorcycle. If you watch Jet, he was very timid and his bike looked super stiff. He was struggling like a lot of the corners, like he was getting those, the front end was dancing around, like his bike wasn't settled. And Jet was riding like how he has been, like Jet's really good at being light on the motorcycle. And some of the places that he's really good at is like he allows the bike to work, you know, like he doesn't like force thing. He doesn't put the bike in a bind. And sometimes it works, most of the time it works well. But when you have tracks that has like small chop, you could tell Jet was uncomfortable, like he was almost too light on his motorcycle. So the thing was dancing around. And as that race goes on, you can start seeing him, like Jet start moving back more. Like he figured out how to ride that bike and, adjust to it. He started sitting down more in a lot of spots. And that to me is what like the greats in the world. When you hear a guy that's like, okay, man, the suspension wasn't good. I'm done. He is able to adjust to it. Ricky Carmichael did it. Like I was able to do it. You know, some of the best guys in the world, they wasn't so dictated on motorcycle. Like my theory was like, I mean, dude, unless I ain't got no arm or right hand and I can't twist the thing, I can't gas it, I'm going to figure out how to ride this thing. As I got older and a few more crashes, I thought different. I was like, I'll ride it tomorrow. You know what I mean? But in the beginning part, like there was no motorcycle that was going to squander me. Like I was going to die trying. And you have to adjust. And Jet he does it so effortless, as you would say, as effortless, it's hard to see. But that kid was able to adapt because he was struggling, and Chase looked the best that he did all year long. So that's why you saw Chase run in and close in on him. But at the end of the day, like towards the end of that race, Jet started looking a lot better. So pay attention how he looked and the way his riding position was the first 10 minutes of that race. And then check out the last part of that race. You'll see that he starts sitting down, he starts moving back. And that was him. The reason he was doing that, because he was so light on the bike and riding like he normally does, he was starting to put weight on that thing. The thing needed to be softer, and the way he was riding, it wasn't putting enough weight on that thing. So he adjusted to it. It was great. And that's why at the end of the day, like, it looked like at some point Chase was going to get him, but Jet kept adapting. And then he adapted to a point to where now Chase is like, damn, he's going faster. And eventually something happened, but just killing it. He's just doing it. And that's the person that just knows. And when I say he's a dog, it could have been easily. Like, I'm going to wrap this championship up. I'm in front of Dylan.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But I ain't gonna do that because I want to whoop that ass, and that kid wants to whoop some ass. So it was cool to see that. And then Dylan Ferrandez, like, where that Frenchman came from? Like, you're like, all right. That dude was beast mode. That dude was riding. You saw it happen, like the beginning part of the race, like he was there and he lost a toe. We were like, all right, man, here Dylan again, you know, like not a negative, but he's been getting ran away from. If he doesn't hold the line on him, and if he can't be behind those guys, once they lose that tail, then it's kind of, you're like, whatever. And shout out to Dylan. I know how hard it is to be like 7 seconds and 7 seconds and like six and then seven. A whole moto to stay like locked in, especially when you got like 30 or 40 seconds over like fourth place. Dylan was feeling comfortable, and Dylan was still able to like almost hook into those guys without being able to see him. And once he saw, he was starting to close in on Chase, and then Chase was starting to close back in on Jet. But Dylan was able, he was feeling good enough to be able to lock in. And we saw Dylan Ferrandez, the guy that we saw win that title. That was that cat. And dude was rolling between Jet, Chase, and Dylan. If I'm Jet Lawrence, I'd rather have Chase catch me than Dylan, because Dylan, you know, like Dylan tried riding around outside of Jason Anderson. You've got to be messed up in the head to do something like that. El Hombre, like, he'll do a lot of things, but what he won't do is just roll over and let you ride around the outside, like how Hayden Deegan was disrespecting some cats. You know, you can't do that.
Bam! So,
yeah, he didn't even have to do that. El Hombre was like, bam. He was like, bro, I'm going to just shoot you just for the hell of it. Like, I didn't even have my gun. It was on safety. But I'm going to shoot you anyway. You can't just come up in my house without saying, what up, dog? And so, you know how I know that? It's because when he did that, El Hombre was laying on the ground. He didn't even look at Dylan. Like, he just like, I mean, fool, come on. I'm not even mad at you. Like, I'm not mad. You just know you can't do that. Dylan didn't even look at him. So, but that was the dog in Dylan. He was getting beast mode. So, Yamaha, I would say the bike, they fixed it. It looked better, but just like Chase, something clicks on those guys. And when they feel better, the bike looks better. You know, I don't think that Honda found a setup that was night and day difference. And the Chase, Honda made Chase that fast. I think it was a combination of both. Chase had to look in the mirror, see that he was ugly, and then look in the mirror and see that, like, yeah, all right, I'll put a little makeup on, I'll tip them things out, whatever, and then you're straight. Then I look in the mirror, I look pretty. So that's what happened. He chased some changes, and then Honda made some changes, and together they had a beautiful baby. Still had a beautiful baby. Jet was prettier because he was able to win, but you know what I mean, people. I think Dylan did the same thing. So shout out to both those guys for looking in the mirror and understanding that I need to get better. And then once I realize I will do that, then the team is right behind you. But I don't think it was because a Honda changed the fork tube or whatever. Yeah, I don't even know what they changed, but I don't think it was because Honda did that and Honda's been holding it back. I think they worked together, and that's what we saw, and those guys were on it. But it was good, and we were, like, close. We're like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And then we're like, damn, Jet won again. Damn, won again. And that's kind of how it was. So it's kind of like that. We saw a lot of things and nothing. Like I said, Dylan looked different. Chase looked different. Dang, Garrett Martin tanked. He was up front. He was up front. He said, I'm going to get up front. I'm going to win one of these things. It was different looking at him. Even this seven guy, he was number 989. What was the number? Sabonia? No, he was up there.
953, Harry Kulas.
Harry. Even Harry looked different. I didn't even know Harry was out there. I didn't even know the dude. It was almost whole shot. He was in second place. He was riding second gear. I was in the zone, people. I mean, everything looked different. But everything stayed the same. What stayed the same? Chase got second. Dylan got third. Or Dylan got second. Chase got third. And what happened? Jet won.
Surprise, motherfucker.
A lot of difference, but everything remained the same. So, and yeah, that was it. I don't even know what else. Well, Harry Cooler?
Kulas. Went
7-7. 7-7 in seven. What'd he go, like 7-7 for like 10th?
Six.
See, that's the math. That 250 class is messed up. You go 2-2 for one, you go 3-3 for four. Harry Cooler.
Kulas.
Go 7-7 for six. What the hell is up, man? It ain't me. It's the system. Five out of four people struggle with math. One thing I did notice this weekend is that Jet Lawrence in the beginning part of that race wasn't looking around that much. Pretty much all weekend. He, you know, we see him, he'll look like 10 times a lap. It seems like this weekend, I just noticed he wasn't doing that. And I think a part of that was because he was uncomfortable, especially that first moto. And that for whatever said, he was so focused in like, dude, I need to get like locked in and figure out how to ride this bike. I don't even got time to worry about what Chase is doing because I can't ride this way. And Jet was making mistakes. Not to the point to where, like, you were like, man, he looks out of control. But when you watch him, there was a few times Jet almost went down. And they would have been like, you remember how he crashed last year here? You know, he was going start front end, start tuck it, and then he...
For that tabletop. Oh, no! Jet's gone down hard. He lost the front. He washed it all the way through.
Like one of those. He had a few of those moments. So I think Jet wasn't looking around because he was trying to figure out how he can get better and ride this bike. Therefore, he's not worried about, you know, Chase at that point. And then once he started figuring that part out, then he started doing that. And then he started like picking his pace. So there was a few part of those motos that was very key. I think it was the second moto. It's about 18 to 16 minutes, those 2 minutes. If you look at Jet, Chase was coming up. Jet got the whole shot. Chase was kind of there. And then Chase started closing. And Jet was feeling better than he did the first moto. They made some changes. Bike looked better. And Jet started putting in a hot lap. Like, he started blitzing. And the reason he was doing that, it was because he knew, just like that first moto, that Chase could, like, chase him down. But to do that, when he started picking it up, it puts Chase in a spot, both of them in a spot. Jet was making mistakes. Chase was making mistakes. And I know for a fact that when I feel like Jet rides, like if it's hard for me and I'm uncomfortable, then he's uncomfortable. But I believe in what I do. And I believe in my technique, my team, my skills, that I can last longer. And I'm just going to run it to that level that's put me borderline. Like I might hit the ground. Therefore, I think Chase will hit the ground, or Chase is going to have to make a business decision. And that business decision is going to have to be, I would wait for Bud's Creek next week. Well, that 18 to 16 minutes, Chase was looking at a checkbook and realizing, you know what, business decision, I don't want to go bankrupt today. I'll wait and buy the product next week. And he went from like a second and a half to like 4 seconds. And Jet, again, the reason he does that is because he knows I can end this race right now. Because if I got that 4 or 5 seconds, Chase is going to have to, he's going to lose that time. He's going to have to make a decision, either hit the ground or take chances and try to ride with me. He decides not to. Well, then to catch me, he's got to make up 4 seconds. And when he starts catching me again, I'm going to go a little bit faster. And therefore, when I go a little bit faster, you have to make another business decision. So I look at all that stuff, and we look at 30 minutes plus 2 laps. I look at 2 minutes. I look at 1.5 minutes. I look at 5 minutes. And if you start breaking that down, there's a race inside a race inside of a race inside of a race. And each one of these laps, these guys are out here dictating like what happens. If I do this lap, this is going to end this race. Or if I do this lap, this is how it's going to affect that. None of them rides 30 minutes. Like, what your plan is going to the gate, your plan is to have a plan. Your plan is, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. If that happens, this is what I'm going to do. You don't go out there and be like, everything's going to be perfect, I'm going to win. Nah, if Chase gets behind me, I'm going to go a little bit faster once I feel comfortable for like a lap. Then I'll regroup. If he's still there, then I'll think about what's next. And we see that, and we saw that all year. Let's go back to Millville. What happened? Jet tried going fast. Chase went down in the beginning. Jet tried going fast. Hey, that plan ain't working. He's coming, so I'm going to slow down. I'm going to slow down, let him catch me. And then when he catch me, what I'm going to do? I'm going to go back fast again. That's going to throw Chase out. And you telling me that Jet showed up at the first at the gate thinking that's what he was going to do? No, his plan was to hold shot and run away, because that's what he'd been doing all year. But inside the race, you got to adapt to survive, or adapt to die, or adapt and go business, make your business decision go rough. So my point is, people, there's a race inside of a race. And even if it sometimes is boring, if you start looking at the details and little breadcrumbs, like the little Red Riding Hood story to make his way back, or whatever, Winnie the Pooh, Duck Duck Goose, one of them stories, y'all know what I mean? He's got a little breadcrumbs. He needs all them breadcrumbs to find his way home. And that's what happens in the race. So Jet had a bunch of breadcrumbs, and what he did have, it's been like 2 weeks, and he was talking to Hunter, and he said, Hunter, look, I love you, bro. I love you. But you like farting on the sheets, bro. You farting on the sheets and you ain't paying. You farting in the toilet and you leaving the toilet paper. You're not even flushing. Look, I'm letting you hang out here. I'm Jet Lawrence, but you, Hunter, you helped me get here. Like, you the reason I'm here. But you can't be making a brother look bad. You at least got to wash the dishes. Like, take trash out, something. And Hunter wasn't doing his part. So he had a little conversation with Hunter over the 2 week break. Because, look, what I'm going to do, I just win. And it was 2 weeks off. So he talked to Hunter and he said, look, normally you go first, but I'm going to show you the way to get it done. And when you guys think I'm going to get it done and like they might get me, I'm just going to hit up the Jet Fires and win. And I'm going to do something that like you've been doing first, but I'm going to do it first this weekend. And it's been about 2 weeks since I've had it. Well, because they've been off, but it's been a few weeks since you had it. And what is that? Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Next on fire. Now, look here, people. I know I was talking about Hunter, and now we talking about Jet. I was talking about Hunter while I was talking about Jet, but look, I can't just end it like that. This is a special moment. Special. We're on the cusp of history. Well, actually, the history was already made. He's the all-time winningest Lawrence in the world. That's what he is. And he's got some other long-time winning. Jet, I'm going to kick your ass on the golf course, but yeah, you already know that. So I didn't want to play with you first. I was going to end that streak, but that's a whole different little James. He said, what up? But he had all this stuff going, but he said, look, I'm going to end it today. And to go 18-0, that means I'm the champion, and he's going to get a special. Hit it for him again, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
Champ, 2023 AMA Motocross champion. Now, coming into season, did we think that was going to happen? Yeah, I kind of did. I thought it was a possibility. I know ET was still looking for his Achilles, which I think he found it. But and Chase Sexton was going to go slide and hit his head and be like laid out and miss all the races. But you being a champion, that was a possibility, because I knew you were going to be pretty damn good. But to be the champion at 18-0, I don't think you expected that. And even though it's possible when you start thinking about it, I know you surprised as well. So there's champions every year, but then there's champions that we remember, and we're going to remember you, son. So congratulations, frills. I know we're having fun, but you killed the kid, and you got two more races, four more motos to get you to 22-0. I know you can win those playoffs. Cool. Whatever. Whatever. You can win all those. Whatever. But right now, you're only going to be 22-0, and that's all the 22-0 you need. So, kid, congratulations. You crushing it. I don't even know what else to say, because I ain't going to say no more. So, the 250 class. Let's go to that. We'll talk about your brother from another... Well, I was going to say brother from another mother, but I got the same mom, so... So, we're here in the 250 class. Last time we saw those guys ride, we saw a little kid, a little baby getting born. Little baby. And he brought the baby to the race. But Hayden Deegan was woke. He woke. He sent notice. Hunter sent him a letter. Hayden sent it back to everyone. So it was perfect timing for Hayden because he went beast mode. He dominated. I said that day that it didn't even matter. Even if Hunter was on his game, Hayden was going to beat him. Sometimes you get locked in. You just get locked in. And so going into that 2-week break, Hayden's been living off of that. Everybody's been talking about it. You know, you get that feeling. And the best part of a racer is to win on right before you go into break. Because you get to live on a little extra week. You get the boss. I'm like, what up, dog? What up? What up? Yeah, I was dating her. What up? I don't want her. It's like dating and being the last person to date her before you go on summer break. Whatever. You got to wait till next time. So 2 weeks off, Hayden's been living on that part. But the other side of the thing is that I feel like with Hunter, and I said this, that what Hayden did, and after like speaking with Hunter and thinking about like where he came from, getting to know him, Hunter was not going to be bothered. Hunter was the one person on that racetrack that what Hayden did wasn't going to mess with him. It wasn't going to mentally mess with him. Now, he might hate his guts, and I don't know this. He never said this to me. He might be like, want to burn his house down. I don't know, people. But what it wasn't going to do, it wasn't going to get him psyched out to where he feels like, damn, I can't beat him. We've seen Hayden disrespect a lot of people. Disrespect him. And I just mean disrespect by just, I don't even care. Hayden Deegan, I'm going to go around the outside on you twice. Do it again. We've seen that. Well, I feel like with Hunter Lawrence, like he won't do that. Like Hunter is not, he won't allow that to happen. Not because he's going to knock him down, but because Hunter is not intimidated by him. And what Hayden did, Hunter is the first person to be like, dude, that kid rode great. Kid probably would have beat me. I don't know. I don't even know if I had it. I got tired, whatever the reasons were. But he's going to go in the next race and be like, but I know if I ride the way I am, I'm still Hunter Lawrence and I still got the red plate. It ain't going to psych me out. And we've seen that happen with Justin Cooper when Hayden's like, I wanted to break him. Well, going into this weekend, Hayden lived off of that for 2 weeks. But Hunter lived off the fact that I've been hurt. So now I'm going to get 2 weeks to build. So when I go in the next race, they haven't seen this guy all year. They haven't seen me. They haven't seen me to my fullest potential. So we had a title fight that literally we had the two best guys in that class feeling like they went into the weekend and it's been a blessing. And that's rare to do. When you get dominated by somebody like Hayden Deegan did. In my rookie year, there was two races that changed my season. It was 2002 Phoenix. I won already before then at San Diego. But the way I won at Phoenix, I knew I had him. Changed my season. I came into the races knowing that, look, I got the speed, and when I'm on, they can't touch me. And it was like a confidence. And then again, at Glen Helen, when I was able to beat lengths in that first moto, I knew then that I'm like, all right, cool. But then when I got to Southwick and the way I dominated that second moto, it was like beast mode to Hayden Deegan. And usually when guys get like that, there ain't no stopping them. I think at that point, for the next rest of my 125 career, I think I lost maybe like 3 or 4 motos the rest of my career. I lost like 5 up until then. So usually it's hard to stop. But with Hunter Lawrence, again, he was living off the fact that they haven't seen me. And so it's rare to get Hayden Deegan and Hunter Lawrence in the same thing where they go into a break. One guy got like 5th or whatever. The other guy just dominate him. But they're going to go into the next race feeling like they're both better and that the other guy has no chance or whatever it is. And so we showed up in Unadilla and I knew the championship was really going to be decided here. Of course, bike breaks, and if we saw that, but anything could happen. But if Hayden Deegan was able to replicate what he did at Washougal to Hunter after this 2 weeks.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I would say it'd be over. He wouldn't beat him again. But if Hunter was able to come in and, you know, stop him and show him that these 2 weeks I just been hurt, that's why it happened, then it was going to change the whole thing. And what we saw was, I believe Hunter was riding the best this weekend that he has all year. I also think Hayden Deegan was riding the best he did all year. He looked better to me this weekend than he did at Washougal. It looked like he knew that he can ride the way he was going to ride. And the reason I say that is because he struggled in the beginning part of the race. And what Hayden's been able to do all year long, which has been why he's able to rebound. And when things start going wrong, he doesn't let go of the rope. He doesn't just throw it away. When he started going down in the field, like when his bike blew up, I was shocked because I was like, did he just crash? Did he just throw it away? Like, did the pressure get to him? And then we realized I didn't see any dirt on his shoulder. Then I knew the bike was broken. But he's been able to just stay there and get that fifth place. Or even if it's ninth, he doesn't get 13th or 20th to crash out. But that kid has that fight and that will to just keep going. And that's why he's where he's at. So in the beginning part of the race, he was struggling. Dude almost crashed a bunch of times. Like, he was running it in, like he couldn't figure out, like he was going too fast, slamming into stuff. But Hunter got around him. A couple other guys almost got around him, and Hunter got around other people. But what Hayden did is what he's been doing all year. He figured it out. And because he was able to run and run that pace at Washougal, and what he's been able to do, dude figured it out, and he started coming back up. And then when Hunter got caught behind those guys, Far East Coast and Kitchen, you knew homeboy was like, I best to get by this dude, because the problem, what was going to happen, Hunter was faster. Hunter actually was going faster than Hayden Deegan. They both was on top level. Hunter was still better. They were close, but Hunter was still better. But Hunter would get caught up behind another guy. And for 3 points, you know how Hayden is, you know, dude. And he got no reason not to. He was going to blast his ass, and Hunter would still be flying. He looked like RJ, what he was thinking about doing, jet up in New York, New Jersey, and thought better of that. That's what was going to happen. So Hunter was like, I move out of the way, and he got past Joe. But every time he did, he put a gap, but Hayden would come through, and it was cool to see. Like, those guys were running really good. Hayden and Hunter was running really good. The other guys were running really good, but when Hunter got past them, dude, it was like all of a sudden these dudes in the way. Hayden picked up a level and he just went past through. Like, he wasn't looking at the guy in front. He was looking through him. He passed Max Bolin like that. He was like a few seconds, then boom, boom. But the whole moto, Max was in front of him. Hayden knows I'm going up front. And so it was cool to watch that. And like I said, both of them guys are riding the best they have all year long. And what we thought was going to happen, Hayden building off that confidence, Hunter building off the confidence that he's healthy. They showed up, and they also showed that, you know, besides Levi just doing his thing and in everybody's refrigerator just doing Levi-ish things, those two separate themselves. And even though some of the other guys were close, and even though those guys, they didn't even win a moto, and you had Levi Kitchen, and then you had Justin Cooper, Hunter and Hayden was the best two guys speed-wise coming into this. Like, they were the best two guys. Now, when Hayden went out that first moto, his bike blew. It, like, kind of brought him back down to a level. And I don't know how it would happen the second moto. Like, I know he fell. I don't know if he was just, like, just kind of caught, kind of bummed out. And because that's kind of the way it looked like from looking at lap times. They didn't really show him that much. But it looked like a guy that was so close to a championship that knew, now my bike blew up and Hayden, I saw your daddy tell you out the start, like, I thought you that far on the outside, son. If you ain't get that jump, you need to shed off and go to inside. But actually what happened to you, you got a good jump, but you still couldn't make that distance and you end up going off the track. But it just looked like he was kind of bummed out and just kind of rode in that. I mean, he was trying, but couldn't really make up anything. But overall, he was the best. The only other person that can run a pace, and when he gets on fire, that I don't know if he's at the top notch. If they're all at top notch, we're going to have a race between three people, is Justin Cooper. But Justin goes up and down too much, for he was still in a title fight. But I believe it was somewhat like how Hayden Deegan was in that second moto. Like, you're there, but you need luck. You need luck. You're not even beating your own teammate. So Justin Cooper and Yamaha, they've been developing this stabilizer, electric stabilizer, which they call it like a power steering, for his motorcycle. Well, Justin Cooper showed up with it this weekend. Now, people, that's a big difference. It's a big difference. Like, they've been developing it for a while. I actually remember seeing it back when I rode, a long damn time ago. But for you to be somewhat in a championship, but to throw that thing on just tells you, you're in the championship, but you don't really believe you're in the championship. So you need anything and everything to get that luck. So they threw it on. And Justin Cooper, I watched him in practice. I'm like, damn, you can't turn. Well, he got in that first moto and he made some passes. But then Justin Cooper, looked like his front end was planted. His back end was dancing around like you take a fish out of the water and things slapping around, but you holding it by the head. That's what Justin Cooper looked like. And he just struggled. He went backwards. Shout out to him to even hold on to fifth place. By having that stabilizer on, it changes the motorcycle quite a bit. And I believe what happened was, if that track was smooth and fast like Unadilla, then it would have been okay. But once you get those ruts into it, you almost got to have that bike to be able to move. It's got to be able to, like, dance around there. And having it stable was going to make him to where he was like, dude, it's all, and then he'd be on the ground. So it looked like he was so timid. And all his corners, if you looked at first moto, dude was going straight. Well, they pulled it off that second moto, and dude just dominated. So when I go back to saying, like, well, if anybody's on top of their game, Justin Cooper's the only person I know that could hang with little baby devilish child, beast mode, little beast mode, danger zone, Hayden Deegan and Hunter Lawrence. He's the only person I can run with that. Second moto, they weren't beating him. And a lot of that came from just Justin Cooper just trying something. It didn't work. But it also, I believe, the way he was riding that motorcycle, the second moto, it was like, when you take it off, it makes the bike feel really light. And so it feels like you can throw it around, like it's really easy to ride. So he looked more like Hayden Deegan that second moto, to be honest with you. He was hanging it out, but he was locked in his own. And I think that just came from steering. It didn't work. They tried it. And then he went in the second moto. The bike actually felt a lot better and he was able to dominate. But he's closer than Hayden Deegan in the championship. But unless something happens to Hunter, I just don't see it. I don't see it. But last thing on Justin Cooper, I will say this. Dude missed the race. He got hit in the throat. And we've been talking all year. It's like, damn, where's Justin Cooper at? Like, he was the title threat. He was Yamaha's hope. Just been up and down. Kind of like Joe Shimoda, like up and down. But he's only 22 points down. And if anything happened to Hunter, bike something, Justin Cooper could end up being your champion. And we've been talking like, what the hell's been up with him? And he missed the race. So I believe he would have gained more than 22 points. And if all things remain the same, Justin Cooper could be feeling like, I should be winning this title. If I had a race high point, I would be that number one play. I'd be the red plate, which he would be. Hunter didn't blow up and then get cut, taken out. Then if would have, could have, should have, but all things aren't lost. And so if we end up in a couple weeks, Justin Cooper being your champion, we're going to look back in the season and be like, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Like, it wasn't as bad as like what it looked like. We just expect Justin Cooper to have motos like he did that second moto, motos like he did at Thunder Valor. Two things that remind me of those two are those tracks look exactly the same. At Thunder Valley, looked just like that second moto. So it could be something about soil and ruts. Justin Cooper's really good and technical, and he looked just as dominant at that moto, at Thunder Valley, that second moto. In this one, they look the same. But just like the 450 class, people, just like the 450 class, we came into this thing. Hayden Deegan was 3 points out. Now he's like 35 or something. That's just how things flip. And we were like, dang, he's got a pretty little baby. And Hunter, like, oh boy, Hunter's in trouble. Hunter came back. He said, I got my ribs fixed. It ain't barbecue. I got my ribs fixed. And I'm coming back and I'm about to get these boys to business. And yes, I cannot get kicked out of my house. Jet, you saw the story, people, and if you haven't seen it, he can't even live at the house. I think that's done on purpose. He's got to get out. I'm not going to not own you as my brother, but you are not winning, and all we do is win around here. Even the dog was cool, chilling like, bro, what up? Dog, his teeth hanging out, little English bulldog, but he came back this weekend, and you were dominant. You didn't even win a moto. That's how dominant you was. This fool didn't win nothing and still won, and that, to me, hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, next on fire.
You put a stamp on it. You put a stamp. I believe if you had to, you would have done it. If you had to, I think you heard Danger Boy was smoking on the side of the track. You're like, all right, I'll let you win, Levi. And then Levi's still on the Yamaha. I don't think Levi do anything dirty. He's just kind of, he's trying to keep his jeans clean. So I don't think he would have made them dirty. But you were like, look, he's on the Yamaha, so I'm just going to chill back. What if I had to win? I would have hit. Out of one. And then the second moto, RJ got slung around and he got knocked out. RJ, yai dog, you look like it. He looked like one of those people that you're doing those insurance fraud where he had like neck brace. And then they walk in the house, they pull that neck brace off. They be like, what up, what up, what up, what up, what up? When they go outside, they be rolling the wheelchair. That's kind of like what RJ looked. But RJ was knocked out. He looked dead, people. But I know RJ is going to do what RJ does and come back. But just kidding. Whew, that was scary. I don't know why I went to RJ, but just thought about him laying on the ground. And then he was just laying on the ground. And then where am I going next, Cole?
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I started feeling bad for RJ. I was like, damn, dude. Like, I remember like laying out there, looking like I was dying or something. And then I looked like I got up with neck brace. And then you're like, yeah, I'm in Florida. I'm like, nah, bro, you in like Albany, in New York. We weren't even there. We at Utica. Like, where's my car? That's where we were. Beating the snake with the rat. That's where we're at. Anyways, people, that was it for the 250 class where we had Hunter Lawrence and all the, just like his brother, all the things changed and everybody else be having babies and all these kids, baby moms, baby daddies. I'm still the man. This is my class. I can be dominant. I don't even have to win to win. And that's what he did. So Hunter Lawrence, congratulations. Red place yours. You're getting close, bro. You're getting close. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time. Oakley Students. We'll be right back before I say something else crazy. We'll be right back.
They say an object in motion tends to stay in motion. We test that idea on a daily basis. Motion and experimentation. Motors and manpower. We continue to evolve and thrive. So whether you climb or cross over, find your own line, or pin it wide open, as long as you're moving in a way that gives you what you need, we'll be here for you.
Hey guys, what's up? It's James Stewart. As you guys know, Athletic Greens is a proud partner of our show. They've been a sponsor of this for a while. It's a nutritional drink that supports the immune system. With 75 high quality ingredients, that gives me the key to daily nutrients and long-term gut health. They have good travel packs that I take with me on the road. And I took it this weekend, which I needed, which gives me energy and helps my immune system because I'm flying all over the place, can get sick a lot. AG1 helps me with that. And it's only $3 a day. So it's a good deal if you ask me. If a solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a 1-year supply of free vitamin D and 5 travel packs. So make sure you go to athleticgreens.com/bubbasworld. Did you hear me? athleticgreens.com/bubbasworld. Go check it out, peeps. All right, people, you know what time it is. My favorite time, your favorite time, Oakley Students Do. Now, like we do every weekend, we're going to go with your stew. What is that? God, that's just better than everybody else. The person that looks prettier than everybody else. The person that says, mirror, mirror on the wall, I'm still the cutest of all. Whatever you want to say, that person is a stew. Me, what, right? That's me. So, Jet Lawrence. Now, look. I know that Chase Sexton was riding better. I know that Dylan Ferrandis, you got to meet the real Dylan Ferrandis. I know that this 980 Lucas Cooler guy, what's his name?
Harry Coolis.
Harry Coolis was out there in that fly seven gear. You're like, damn, that. Oh, I got a raise. I know that was in front of you, but you stayed focused and they were talking about all this other stuff. But what you did was special, kid. And you're the first person to ever do it. You're the first rookie to ever come in, not win the championship, but be undefeated and still win the championship at this point. And you dominate. So Jet Lawrence, from your boy, Lil Jamesy, inside joke, you know what that is. But all of us here at Bubba's World, we always got to do these special ones. And hopefully maybe your brother get one in a couple weeks, but he ain't got one today. You are a stupendous stew. Hit it for him again, Cole. That's for you, kid. All year, you've been dominant. You've been dominant in different ways. You've been outthinking them, unthinking them, going faster, slower. But at the same time, like, you haven't been passed. You haven't been passed. The only person that had you, like, going, you were looking in the life of a box of chocolate like Forrest Gump with German chocolate. Since then, you've been doing exactly. They've been on your world. And congratulations, kid. Phenomenal. Got two more to go. So we'll see what happens. Jeffrey Herlins, I thought he was coming, but he ain't coming. Eli, he found this Achilles, but he said he's going to pop it back in and meet you next year, maybe. And so, Jet Lawrence, congratulations. Now, your brother, this is a stew, too. And I'm going to give you a stupendous stew. Why? Because what? You won the overall? No, I mean, you won a few of those. Why? Because your dog is cool? I'll give you a stew for that. Oh, I mean, what? We went second, and Danger Boy, I gave him a baby diaper, shower, whatever. No, because you can go 2-2 and win. And that, to me, again, I said it before, if you cannot win and win, that's just stupendous. And that's what you are. And I know you were about to get kicked out the house, and you actually was kicked out the house. You weren't even allowed to ride there and sleep there. But Hunter Lawrence, you came back, you got them ribs fixed, and you're back. Hunter Lawrence, you a stew. All right, those are my two stews. You got your 2023 AMA Motocross champ and the guy that gets second. And went. Stupendous job. Dominant. Now, Levi, he's stew. Justin Cooper. I mean, y'all stew. I mean, yeah, a lot of people stew, but those are stupendous stews. All right, my next list. Pissed off, stew. Pissed off. Pissed off because you're like, damn, I was like right there. And I keep catching this dude. But then then I'm picking myself up. I don't know. And then Dylan Friend is like, ooh la vula seca. Dude, he's right here. I'm right there and I'm feeling it, cooling it, cooling it. And then I'm like, I haven't been this close since the riders meeting. And then I'm like that close and I'm like, got my best performance. And I still can't beat him. But that wouldn't be pissy. It'd kind of be like, dude. But anyway, stewed. Nope. We ain't stewed today, people. We confused. Just like this damn segment. It just feels confusing to me. And the people who are confused is these damn lap riders. They stewed and confused. So they're going to be stupid Kuzmans. I don't know what it is. And the reason I say y'all is because, look, it's the playoffs coming. We don't want to be in that line. We don't want to be in last chance with Chiz. Chiz, I know he's been, like, back there, and we haven't been talking about it, but you know Chiz comes up, and Chiz trying to make it in that thing, but if he got to go to LCQ, shoot, nobody wants to race against him. So these guys out here, like, performing. We've been talking about this. $5 million on the line. You talking about this? I take out grandma for two. You put $5 million on, I take all you bitches out. So all these guys are life changing and they out there trying to ride. And then Jet Lawrence comes by and he be like revving his bike. Chase be known to knock bitches down. You know how he is. We go back to last year. He be knocking them down. Especially when you be getting frustrated. He be like, man, I'm just coming in to clean you out. So they out here doing their thing. And then like y'all like coming in and they're like, dude, I'm like top 15. First off, I shouldn't even be getting lapped, but I'm getting lapped. Y'all fast. But yeah, then y'all get on the podium. Like, man, these dudes need to learn. Right? Yeah, they need to be like, dude, I'm like top 15 in AMA 450 motocross. I'm like the one percentile in the world. So I'm like confused as hell because
we've been talking about the playoffs and that I need these points. Clinton be putting up these damn stats like Austin Fortner, I get like top 10, all these races to make the playoffs. Otherwise, you're going to be last chance. Like a lot of these different stats. And then I'll be trying to do it. And then y'all want to put me back there with Chiz and be in the last chance. Not even saying Chiz is going to be in there. So I'm confused because I'm racing and then I'm in the race's way. Makes no sense. So I'm kind of pissed too. So my lap riders, serious note, people. You see all them damn ruts in there? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? I know how it is. I used to be the same way. Lap for getting my way is his fault. It's his fault. No one's fault but that lap rider's fault. That's his fault. But that I'm my age, it really wasn't his fault. You know, things happen. They can't get out the way. All them ruts, you get stuck in a rut. What do you want me to do? Sometimes I'll be stuck. I can't get out. Help me. Help. So lap riders, they were talking about it. They were in the way. Jack got messed up. Chase got messed up. They got messed up. Everybody got messed up. But it was nobody's fault that everybody's messed up. But it was just a messed up situation. And I'm trying to clean it up. So lap riders, y'all cool. But I know y'all confused because y'all out there riding for the playoffs. People, the playoffs and Jets out there in the way. They trying to hold me from the playoffs. They trying to keep me. Nonetheless, it wasn't their fault. Just the racing condition. But I know y'all pissed because it's thousands and thousands and thousands of hundreds of dollars on the line. And y'all trying to get out the way. Don't give me no damn blue flag. I kick it out the way. So my lappers, that's all y'all get. So y'all confused, stewed, pissed off. Everybody else, y'all made it out of there. I mean, even RJ made it out of there. He made it out of neck brace, but he made it out of there. So besides that, look, what happened was going to happen. Jet kept winning, so there ain't nothing else. So that's my list. Jet Lawrence, congratulations, kid. Hunter Lawrence, congratulations. You so dominant. You don't even got to win. That's just dominant. Hey, Deegan, keep your head up, son. Keep your head up. You there, son. You there. Justin Cooper, take the steering thing off. Keep it off, man. Put it on next week. Maybe you'll need it. I don't know. Do something. Just do what you did at Sakamoto. Dominant. Levi, keep them jeans clean. You straight. Looking good. Joe Shimoto, you were like there. You better let that boy ride on the outside of you. Like, come on. Take a shot. They my friends. Come on. Everybody was good. Austin Fortner, look good. Good in practice, but, you know, keep it going. All confidence. So everybody, all the riders, shout out to them. Everybody, it was cool to see. Good to be back. That was 2 weeks off. Ain't no more weeks off. We're going next week, Bud's Creek. Well, I won't be there. Be sad. Can be home. But you will see your boy, Ricky, and your boy be here on next Tuesday at 5 o'clock like we always do. So that was round 26 from Unadilla. Well, we saw what we saw, and we always been seeing it all year long. Ain't nothing's changed. Danger Boy, again, keep your head up. You rode good, and you lost points. That's just racing. It is what it is. So Mama Deegan was like, I think she threw the F word out. Brian was like, hey, yeah, man. I was like, you know, man, you're a kid. You slap that thing, slap it out the way, whatever. You got to worry about the kid. So that was round 26, Unadilla. Hope you guys enjoy it. Good to be back. And until round 27, you just got to wait between round 26 and 27. And then that'd be it. So I got to go.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.